You just feel good being a preacher. I've been to a few places where I had to trade place with a fireman. I had to look for a ladder to rescue myself. But it's been wonderful being here. We're going to ask you how many people we have here 25 years and younger. Will you stand up so I can see how many I've got? All right. Thank you. Sit down now. I appreciate that. Now, this may not be tuned to 25 and above, but I want you to stay here anyway. Okay? And you that stood up, I'd like for you to be prayerful, because if you're prayerful, you'll probably be receptive. If you're not, you'll probably be rebellious, and you may get mad at the preacher. So I hope you don't do that. I'd like to preach that tonight out of 2 Samuel chapter 13, verses 3 and verse 32. 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 3 and verse 32. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimei, David's brother, and Jonadab was a very subtle man. In verse 32, and Jonadab, the son of Shimei, David's brother, answered and said, "Let not my lord suppose that they have slain all the young men, the king's sons, for Amnon only is dead. For by the appointment of Absalom, this hath been determined from the day that he forced his sister Tamar. Now therefore, let not my lord the king take the thing to his heart, to think that all the king's sons are dead. For Amnon alone is dead." Lord, help us for just a little while. I'd like to preach to you on this two characters, Amnon and Jonadab. Amnon was a king's son. Jonadab apparently was his cousin. Amnon had a peculiar situation. He had fallen in love with Tamar, his sister. And he had fell so grievously in love with her till the Bible says he fell sick for his sister Tamar. For she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. That was his safe condition when he felt it too hard. But the verse doesn't stop there, and neither does the story. For the story says that Amnon had a friend. His name was Jonadab. And Jonadab was a very subtle person. And what Amnon could not think of doing, Jonadab was capable of thinking and carrying it out. Now I want to preach to you young people. It's very important for you to understand that not everybody who claims to be your friend is a friend. There's some folks who pretend to be your friend who are no more than instigators. Subtle. Streetwise. They know how to do it and have no convictions against doing what they want to do. Amnon was a king's son. He was raised in King David's home. He was raised and tutored and trained to be a king's son. He never had any days without someone watching him. He was taught in the ways of a king's child. They did not go to common school. He was tutored in the things of court. Amnon lived a sheltered life. He did not run and play with the boys on the street. So therefore, he was not worldly wise. Amen. He was sheltered. As we do a lot of our children, he was sheltered. But yet, even in a sheltered circumstance, it does not keep young people from developing characteristics that are not right. Amen. Amnon had fell in love with his sister Tamar, which was not good. But maybe it was something other than love. I think it proves out to be more than something. It was lust. Since he was cut off from the girls of the world, it seemed like all the girls that he seen was those that was eating at the table with him, those that was allowed into the court. The manners and the decor of the court demanded that he treat her with respectability. She was a king's daughter. Amen. So therefore it took manners. But Amnon had an imagination. And the thoughts of Amnon that was in his heart and on his mind were not good. Amnon's secret chamber of his imagination was filled with Tamar. And the thoughts had so vexed him till he became so sick and puzzled about these thoughts of Tamar, until Jonadab noticed him, that he was getting leaner and leaner, and that his countenance was troubled. And under the pretense of being a friend, Jonadab began to quiz Amnon. What's wrong with you? Why do you look so bad? How come you're not happy? Let's go do this. And Amnon's answer was always, I don't want to. Until one day he opened his heart to a so-called friend. When he opened his heart to this so-called friend, he let the puzzle out on the table. It would have been much better for him not to have known Jonadab, and for Jonadab never to have known what was in his heart. Because once Jonadab knew what he wanted, Jonadab had no reluctance to get him what he was wanting. It would have been better if David had been a better father. David was a wonderful king, a great psalmist, a wonderful warrior, mighty, a conqueror. But a father, David doesn't take too high a grade.
Amen. Right.
You see, he was too busy building a kingdom to be the father of Amnon. Hello, Dad. And David was building a kingdom. He was too busy with court affairs. He was too busy entertaining. He was too busy conquering. This city must fall. This border must be secured. And he got so busy doing what he was doing until Amnon had grown up with feelings and felt like there was no one that understood him and no one he could talk to about them. And let me tell you something, my friend, if you don't listen to your boy, he's got a friend that will. And if you don't take time for your boy, he'll have a friend that will. Hello. I know you've got to make a living. I know the bread and butter is your work. But my friend, if you get so much work and spend so much time promoting your work and building your security that you let your children grow up without a dad, you're asking for an Amnon. Somebody shout amen for me. You see, Amnon had a friend. When David wasn't available, when David should have been there, he should have noticed, as well as Jonadab, the countenance of his son. He should have known the troubled look in his son's eye. He should have got the guest of what was going on. But David never suspected that his son Amnon loved his daughter Tamar. David wasn't there. Sometimes we wonder why our sons don't have faith like us. And it's because Dads never took time to explain the sweetness of his relationship with Jesus to his son. Dads never sat down to tell of the precious faith of Jesus in his heart. He'll teach him how to shoot a gun and hunt. He'll teach him how to throw a ball and catch. He may even explain the rules of the game. But there's more things in life than just that. When Dad, you don't take your place as a father, and you let your son grow up and get these feelings, and he doesn't feel like he can talk to his dad, there'll always be a Jonadab somewhere who will talk to your son or talk to your daughter. You see, it's a very puzzling thing that our holiness folks really don't pay attention to who their children's friends are.
All right.
Still love me, don't you? We must know our children's friends. We must ask some vital questions about our children's friends. If they are not qualified to be a good friend, then we should discourage the friendship. And the way to discourage friendship is to be a better friend than any so-called friend. Amen. We must not only be parents to rule the roost, we must be friends to our children. They must know that we're always there, that we always care, and there's no problem too sticky that we won't get involved in for them. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Now look, if you're not their friend, Jonadab is available with his subtlety, with his streetwise ability, and while you're busy not being their friend, Jonadab has been known to learn them how to smoke.
All right.
Jonadab's been learned to get them the booze. And Jonadab's been known to teach them how to take the pill. Come on now. Jonadab's been known to introduce them to pornography. Teach them how to slip around and do things that mom and dad don't allow. Will you help me preach? If you won't be their friend, there's a Jonadab somewhere in their life. You see, nobody is your friend who will help you do wrong. Mark it down. First detective clue. He's not your friend or she's not your friend who will help you do wrong. And my young people said, thank you. I hope you meant that. You see, nobody who has your best interest at heart will ever help you do wrong. If they are your true friend, they will reprove you and correct you and shame you and tell you that's wrong.
Amen.
Amen. You see, Jonadab had been a real friend. The first thing he would have said, you need to talk to your dad about that.
There you go.
If Jonadab had been a true friend, he would have said, you got a problem there, and you need to talk to your dad about that problem. If your friend will point you away from your mom and your dad, if they'll tell you that you don't need to talk to mom and dad about that, you have not got a friend. You've got an instigator on your hand. Jonadab was willing to help him do wrong, which right off tells me he was no friend. Amen.
You see, it's sort of like Job's wife, who bore him all those children, but in a moment of crisis told him, curse God and die. Amen. She shone like a star against the black velvet of night. She was like the fair moon who had raised Job's children. And no one knew that she leaned towards that way. When a crisis time came, she turned against her own husband and told him, commit suicide, curse God, and die. It's the crisis times that prove true friendship. Anybody can be a fair weather friend, but when you need help, when you need guidance, when you need the truth, don't look for a Jonadab, for they won't give it to you. You see, there is a part of us, in every one of us, do we feel the condemnation of being a neglectful parent. Some of you are going to shake your head and say, yes, I know too late what you mean. We let things slide. Now, I'm not saying all and everybody has. But sometimes we've been guilty of letting little things slide. And in letting them slide, we shape the character of our children. Any mom and dad that's neglectful with their children in their formative years will have a rebel on their hands when they get old. If they'll sass you when they're two, they'll cuss you when they're 20. Hello. If they'll fight you when they're 3, they'll beat you when they're 20. Amen. If they'll lie to you when they're little, they'll deceive you and rip you off when they're old. But don't blame it on them. Because if we're not neglectful, there's a rod that can put the fear of God and the fear of Dad in their soul. Amen. You don't have to be a tyrant to be a good parent. You just got to be there. And you got to be on top of all of those traits. You let them go, you are making yourself a rebel. Amnon showed no signs of a rebel. He showed no signs of being a bad child until he met Jonadab. Old Jonadab had been in and out of court several times, but Amnon didn't have a problem. Amnon didn't have a temptation. Amnon didn't have a desire. Amnon didn't have a lust building in his heart. Amnon didn't have anything to reach out for. So Jonadab just goes on by because Amnon is not interesting. But all of a sudden, Amnon has a problem. Jonadab wants to know. Amnon's got a problem that affects his heart. Jonadab wants to know. Amnon all of a sudden has got something that's interesting, and Jonadab is pulled to it. And when Amnon says, it's my sister Tamar, I want my sister Tamar, Jonadab says, I'll tell you, that's no problem. Do what I tell you to do, and Tamar is yours. This didn't take a week to happen. This didn't take a year to formulate. This happened in a day. Hey, Jonadab tells him, just like it said, lay thee down on thy bed, make thyself sick, and when thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come, and give me meat, and dress the meat in my sight, that I may see it, and eat it at her hand. So Amnon lay down and made himself sick. And when the king was come to see him, Amnon said unto the king, I pray thee that Tamar, my sister, come, make me a couple of cakes in my sight, that I may eat at her hand. David sent home to Tamar, saying, go now to thy brother Amnon's house and dress him meat. It went just like Jonadab said. But notice, the first thing that happens is, he's getting ready to teach Amnon how to break the commandments of God. First, he is laying up the thought of throwing aside the commandments of God on keeping yourself pure. There is a scripture that said, you'll not covet your neighbor's wife, amen, neither shalt thou commit adultery. Amen. But to Jonadab, those are unimportant scriptures. And another one he is fixing to break is, honor thy father and thy mother. Of course, above all of that is that you should love the Lord thy God. So, virtually, he is going to teach him in one act how to break the commandments of God. We know the New Testament teaches us that if we break one, we're guilty of them all. Somebody shout amen. So, Amnon is set up for the fall. Amnon is going to take the plunge. Amnon is going to take the risk. Amnon has took the bait. Amnon has swallowed the hook. Amnon is brought into jeopardy. Amnon is just a few years from death. And it all starts with a friend called Jonadab.
All right.
Jonadab walks right out. He leaves Amnon. He has formulated the plan. Amen. Amen. He has capitalized on Amnon's weakness. He is really not sincere to his need. He just tells him how to fulfill a momentary lust. Listen to what the Bible says. David has fallen for it. David doesn't question. Amnon had never acted out of the way before, so David doesn't question it. He should have questioned, why your sister Tamar? Hello? But David does it. Sometimes I've watched moms and dads, I can't figure out what's wrong with my child. I could look in their eyes and tell them, it's some outside substance. Help me preach. But other times I could tell them it's a friend at school. Huh? What dad and mom sometimes can't see is because we don't want to see. Because we don't want to stop long enough to deal with the problem. I wish you'd help me preach. You see, you've got to check people out before you let them in on things. Some folks just ain't worth taking the time to tell them. Amen. What are you doing telling them anyway? Don't you have a mom? Don't you have a dad? Don't you have a pastor? What are you doing going to the street with your problem? What are you doing telling somebody that don't know Jesus? What are you doing telling somebody that doesn't respect the commandments? What are you doing telling somebody that doesn't care about the Bible? What are you doing telling somebody that can't help you? They're only going to give you advice, and the advice is going to sink your ship. The advice is going to lose you something. Amen. The advice is going to take something away from you. Something you won't get back. Time won't heal. Sometimes you lose some things by letting somebody, amen, in on the inner part of you that should have always been kept at a strong distance. Before you tell anybody, you better check their life out. They probably got a habit of wanting to know anyway. Anybody's always saying, what's going on, what's going on, what's going on, what's wrong? I always figure they got a nose problem to start with. Somebody spends more time on the telephone than they do on their knees, I know they got a problem. You better check them out before you tell them anything.
Amen.
Amen. I said, you better check him out. Somebody said, well, I love him. I love him. You do. You better check him out. You may find out that he's been in and out of love so many times, he's like a revolving door. His hinges are already worn out. You're loving him. He don't love you. You love her, she don't love you. How many times she done told? How many boys she done wrote, I love you and I can't live without you? You better check them out before you tell them something. Amen. He's already been had two times. You don't want to be the third has been. Hello anyway. He's done made a flop twice. Why be the third? I said, you better check him out before you talk to him. Amen. She's already been passed down the line three or four times. Don't be the fifth sucker. Amen. You better check things out before you start talking. He said, I don't like that kind of preaching. So what? I'm not running for your pastor. I'm not even trying to be your favorite evangelist. I'm just trying to preach you some gospel. You see, if Amnon had a check Jonadab out, he'd have known Jonadab was going to stand on the side and let him take the fall. Amen? Oh, come on now. If they begin to tell you, you can't tell mom and dad this, you'd better leave them right there. Anybody that'll tell you to do something mom and dad has taught you against is not your friend. You had better drop them right there. Amen. Amen. Some of our little holiness girls, bless their hearts, they like these long-haired boys. And they say, you're cute. Cute. You need my glasses. Amen. You need to look through my glasses. I don't see cute. I see rebel. I don't see cute. I see a rebel. And if you marry him, you're marrying a rebel. And if he's a rebel against mom and dad and a rebel against the world, it won't be long, he'll be your rebel. Amen. And let me tell you something, my dear sisters. You need to check them out before you ever let them in your heart. Amen. If you're 14 and don't have anybody in your heart, God bless you. Amen. You're wonderful. I love it. Stay that way. I tell my girl, I said, honey, if you don't get married, you're 35. Daddy will love you all the way to 35. Amen. That's right. I don't care. Amen. That's right. I don't care. Somebody said, well, you're too rough. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I'm not going to let any old thing come by and take her hand. Amen. If he ain't praying in the altar, he ain't going to get her telephone number. I said, if he ain't praying in the altar, he ain't going to get her address. And if he comes to the door, it'll be me that answers, not him. Hello. I know some of you young ladies said, I don't want to be your daughter. She's happy being it. Amen. You see, rules are only hard on rebels. Rules are only hard on rebels. If you're willing to obey your daddy, you're going to be under subjection to your husband. But if you can't mind your daddy, poor man that gets you. Woo! Hello, anyway. You see, you've got to be able. And if anybody gives you advice, don't. That'll sink your ship. You'll never get to be an old man. You'll never get to be an old lady. You'll never have a happy, happy life. Jonadab's going to sink everybody who allows themselves to be his friend. Because Jonadab's only have one friend, and that's themselves. They're out to protect old number one. They'll use you and abuse you and then discard you. They'll come into your life and get what they want and close the door on you, and you'll be their past. And they won't worry about you. Amen. I said amen. You see, there's a... If you can't tell mom and dad, it's probably bad. Now let me tell you a few little tricks. Can I tell you a few little tricks? God help you if you're one of those that says to mom and dad, I'm going to go home and stay with so-and-so, and then you don't go there. I don't know what you call that. I call that lying. If you lie, you fry. If you don't turn, you burn. Did you hear me? I said, if you lie, you'll go to hell. Well, it's just my old man. Is it? Who made the commandment, thou shalt not lie or bear false witness? Wasn't the old man? It's God Almighty. When somebody tells you how to get around so you can get out, there's your friend. When somebody cons you into saying, let him go to sleep and then slip out, they ain't your friend. We'll get you back in before they wake up, and no one will be the wiser. Let me tell you, what you've got's a Jonadab a-knocking on your door, and you had better recognize him because he's a snake. If somebody encourages you to do wrong, that's bad advice. If they say to you, you'd look pretty with your hair all flipped and curled and cut, ain't your friend. No. Hello, anyway. I said, they ain't your friend. You see, they don't care if they're saved or not. And they're giving you some bad advice. Because as soon as the preacher draws your number out of the hat and gets on your case, you're not going to fall out with Jonadab. You're going to fall out with your preacher. Jonadab stands over to the side and said, uh-huh, they're all like that. You can't trust holiness preachers. See, they don't care. But it wasn't the holiness preacher that got you in the pickle. Huh? It was your friend who encouraged you to do wrong. When they tell you a little makeup don't hurt, hurt who? Hurt them? Well, they don't care anyway. Huh? It'll hurt you. It'll hurt the anointing on your life. It'll hurt the Holy Ghost that lives in you. It'll hurt your church. It'll hurt you. It'll hurt your home. It'll hurt your mom. It'll hurt your dad. Don't tell me it don't hurt. It hurts. I tell you, just a little bit of jewelry don't hurt. Don't get them big gaudy head balancer. Just get them little bitty things. Well, let me tell you, there ain't a hair difference between the little bitty ones and the great big gaudy ones. Once you get the hole in the ear, you'll fill it up with something. And before you drill one, let me use the one you've already got. I got something I want to say to it. Don't you be somebody's fool. And let them tell you of something you'll always be ashamed of. Amen. Jonadab's always got a plan, but they never tell you of the penalty. They never tell. Did you notice that Jonadab never mentioned nothing Ammon about
the penalty. He just said, I'll show you how to get it. I'll show you how to do it. I'll get Tamar for you. Do you want Tamar? I'll get Tamar for you. No problem. No problem. No problem. He forgot about Absalom. Tamar's got a big brother. Absalom. Amen. You see, don't you forget that for every plan, there's a penalty or reward. The wages of sin is... Preach, church. What is it? The soul that sinneth, it shall surely... So for every plan, there's a penalty. The problem with folks, they don't tell you that once they get you to light the first cigarette, you may end up, before your life is over, smoking 5 packs a day. They never tell you about the yellow fingers, the running pus, the cancer of the throat, the cancer of the lung. They never tell you about the cough, the habit. Amen. The first little sip, the first can of beer is free. Come on, it's on me, Jonadab says. Amen. But he never tells you, I got a plan. We can get it. We can cool it. We can go out on this dark road. We'll drink it. You stay all night with me. Nobody will know. You'll be sober when you go home. But let me tell you, if you take the first drink, you may awaken a devil in your soul that'll cry out for more and more and more. And after a while, that devil will get so strong that you'll stagger home drunk one day and you'll find a broken-hearted mama and a broken-hearted daddy that's loving you and are hurting because that you listened to a Jonadab. For every plan, there's a penalty. Some of these boys that'll get these girls out in these dark places and say, now look, this is all new to you, but you just tell me when you want me to stop, and I'll stop. The minute you are to tell him to stop is when he starts suggesting you start. Hello? I said hello. Somebody said, that's awful plain. It's time, isn't it? Jonadab's always got a plan. Always a plan. We'll not start off with heavy petting. We'll just start off with touching. We'll just start off with sweet whispers and build a fire that after a while rages and turns into an unwanted pregnancy. And Jonadab rides off and leaves you with the baby, leaves you with a bad name, leaves you with a scar for life, leaves you with a broken heart, leaves you with a bad name. I want you to know, my friend, for every plan, there's a penalty. You can't do wrong without paying. You hear me, young people? You can't do wrong without paying. Everything has to be paid for. You'll pay for your wrong. Amen. You'll not only that, but you'll have trouble with your conscience. Just right now, there's folks right sitting right here who I've preached to that your conscience is stirred. You know you're wrong. You're wrong in your heart. You've done things and you've hid them. The Spirit's dealt with me today that you'd be here. You're here. Your conscience right now is preaching as loud as I'm preaching. Amen. You're here. You're in trouble. You've stepped out of the boundaries. You're going down the wrong path. And there's only one hope for you, that I can expose Jonadab for what he really is. There's some folks that's telling you that if you'd just get out of that holiness church, there'd be a lot more liberty. You're in bondage. You don't have to dress like that. Let me tell you something, my friend. Jonadab is not out for your best interest. He's only trying to get you to break over. If he can get you out of a holiness church, away from the Holy Ghost, he'll next lead you down to the carnival. Amen. And then down to the arcades, and then down to the beach, and then down to the movie house, and then down and down and down and down until your conscience is so seared that you can't find your way back home. Your conscience is bothering you right now. Some of you started your marriage off wrong. I'm sorry I didn't get here in time. I'm sorry I didn't get here in time with this message. But I got here in time for some of you. Some of you have got a marriage that's just built on fractured relationships. You got hooked. You really didn't want him. You just got hooked. You really didn't think about what he was. You just got hooked. You didn't think about what she was and how she'd flirt. Amen. And how she'd hurt you. You just got hooked. And now you're married and there's no way out. But let me tell you, my friend, I'm trying to reach those that's not. Amen. And try to tell them, check them out. Look them over. If you can't be at peace with your conscience and go with that dude, drop him. You can't have peace of God and peace in your heart and go with her. Drop her. Keep God. Keep the sweet Holy Ghost. Keep the sweet anointing. Keep the unction of God. After a while, the Holy Ghost will bring you a Prince Charming. Or he'll bring you a princess that will grace your home and cause you to live and have a happy home life. Raise your hands and pray for me. The Holy Ghost is here. Same one that's been here. Only he's reaching tonight. He's a reaching for you. He's a trying to deal with you. He's a trying to get to you before you make a wreck. He's trying to get to you before you get burnt. He's trying to get to you before you get hurt. Don't you care about your name? Don't you care about your family's name? Jonadab don't care. He didn't care that Amnon was a king's son. He didn't care for the family name. He didn't care. Do you care for your name? Do you care for your family's name? Ask if we could. We'd stop and just ask some of these people to stand up who didn't take care of their name and ask them how hard it is to recover once it's lost. Oh God. Oh God. You can lose it in a moment. You can lose it in one night. But it'll take you a lifetime of careful living to ever get back a name. It'll take you a lifetime of living right to get back your name. And always that sin will be hooked to your name. We need to take care of our family. Don't you ever want to come back home? I said, don't you want to ever come back home? You marry him. He may never let you come back home. You marry her. You may never come back home. Help me preach. I know young men that can't go back home. Too embarrassed. I said, I'd love to go back home. I just can't face them. I can't face them. Oh, a castaway because he didn't take care of his name. A castaway because he had no thought of family. A castaway. And now the relationship between him and his mom and dad is strained. And all because of Jonadab. Amen. You see, you'll pay the price. He'll be in the clear. Did you notice with me that Jonadab was standing with David when Amnon was wallowing in his own blood? How did Jonadab know that Absalom was going to pay off? But when David was worried, it said that Jonadab said, it's been determined from the day that he laid with Tamar, Absalom was going to kill him. Now, 2 full years pass. Jonadab never whispers in Amnon's ear, Absalom's going to get you. And Jonadab never whispers in his ear, there's a price on your head. And as soon as Absalom gets it set, you're as good as dead in Absalom's heart. And Absalom plays the part. He neither speaks good nor bad to Amnon. In the morning, it's, how you doing, Brother Amnon? Feeling all right today? Everything all right? First, Amnon was a little shy, and after a year, yeah, Absalom, pretty good today. Fine, my brother, fine. And he'd go back home and look at his precious little sister Tamar, desolate. She's going to have to bear that shame all of her life, stay in Absalom's house. Absalom loved his sister so much that when he had a girl, he named her Tamar. Because Tamar never had children. She'd never marry. She was ashamed. She was stuck with the price. She paid it. She'd never bear her own child. So Absalom names his child Tamar to honor his sister. Yes, my friend, your life can be ruined beyond repair. You get mixed up in the wrong bunch. You can be mixed up so bad that you can't repair. Help me preach now. You've not stopped helping me, have you? Listen, you'll pay the price. Amnon's going to die. Tamar's going to be desolate the rest of her day. It says of Amnon, at the very end of the act with Tamar, that the love that he loved her with before the act had turned to a hatred greater than the love that he thought he loved her. You'll hate yourself, and you'll hate the person who you have committed the act with. You'll hate them all the days of your life. They were the one that cost you your name. They were the one that cost you your honor. They were the one that will cost you when you have to talk to your husband-to-be. Ladies, there should be a complete honesty in marriage. If you have been deceived and beguiled, you need to tell that man before somebody on the street tells him. Help me preach. Amen. That's why, young lady, it's good for you to stay a virgin. Don't let them kid you and talk to you and say, you old fogey, you still a virgin? Raise your head erect and said, yes, and I intend to be one till I give myself to my husband. Somebody shout amen. And listen, boys, there's no shame in you remaining a virgin till you're married. I don't care if you don't know how to kiss until you get up there to that altar. You've got all life to learn. You don't have to have some Jonadab to teach you how to smooch in a backseat. I mean, get you a good man. Practice. I've been practicing for 25 years. I still like to practice. That's right. You mean you still? Yeah, I still do. I court her. Right? Hold her hand. Take her out on the porch and swing with her. Look in her eyes and tell her, you're beautiful. And she still falls for the same old line. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. That's all right. You see, I'm not a Jonadab. I just want her to stay right where she's at. Don't you? I don't want to be married to something that I wish would die. I want to be married to someone I want to live. I want to say, live with me. Go on with me. Let's become a parent together. Let's become a grandparent together. Let's raise our great-grandchildren. Woo! Hallelujah. Hope I didn't shock you. Some of you look like you're shocked. You mean a holiness preacher that courts his wife? Absolutely. I wouldn't be a holiness preacher if I courted somebody else's. In fact, you're not a holiness preacher if you touch anyone else's. That was free. You'll pay the price and he'll be in the clear. You'll suffer, he'll be out running. You'll be scraping to make ends meet and he'll be buying somebody else some flowers and candy. You'll be all alone. He'll be down the road partying. That's the reason why, my friends, you need to make sure your friends are not Jonadab. Amen. And they'll be the first to point the blame at you. Can't you hear Amnon as he's there and Jonadab hears he's going off with Absalom? He moves to the safe place. He goes hunt King David up. He'll make sure he don't go to that party. Why didn't Jonadab join? He's always been a friend. All of a sudden, he don't want to go to that party. He wants to be over here at David's side. He don't want that party because he knows this party is Amnon's last party. Amen. Absalom brings on the party. Jonadab moves up to King David. And it wasn't very long till somebody said, the party's over, that Jonadab said, don't worry, David. Don't worry, I know exactly what happened. I can tell you. There's none of your sons dead except Amnon. And it's been determined since the day that he lay with Tamar. That's where your Jonadab friends will be. They'll move up next to your pastor and say, well, I could have told you she was headed for trouble. I could have told you she was headed for trouble. Well, I knew when they started popping them pills and taking that joint. I knew what they was going to get into. I knew what that boy was after when he started dating her. But he always waits till after you're sunk and then he moves up to where somebody, amen, and says, I could have told you, see. I knew it all along. You are a rotten friend if you hold back information and watch somebody sink in sin when all you would have to do is start praying and tell other people to pray and make a telephone call and say somebody needs to tell their mom and dad before they get too deep in trouble. You sit there in a church with your arms folded and your mouth closed and said, I don't want to get involved. You're a Jonadab if I ever met one in my life. You'll just soon watch somebody else's child split hell wide open. Let me tell you, my friend, there's a time to be quiet and there's a time to speak up. And you better learn, if you're going to be a friend, shout it from the housetop. That's wrong. Somebody tell him that's wrong. They'll be the first to tell your troubles. Oh, yeah, they will. They'll be the first to tell. They'll be the first to tell. Did you hear about so-and-so? Shame, isn't it? But 50 people, they'll tell. But they'll never go see Amnon again and say, Amnon, I'm sorry, I gave you some bad information.
There you go.
They'll tell her and him and her and this one and that one all up and down your road. They'll spread it out in the street. They'll tell it in the school. Hey, man, isn't that a shame? Such a nice girl, such a nice boy. There they mess themselves up. They're in trouble. Yes, but who set it up? Oh, it should help me preach. 2 full years pass. But Absalom finally got his plan together. Sheep shearing time. A time for a great party. A time to celebrate. He goes to David and said, David, father, won't you come? David said, I can't. He knew David wouldn't. But he said, since you can't come, let Amnon come and all the sons, all your sons. David said, what do you want Amnon for? He said, just let him come. David knew in his heart that that didn't sound right from Absalom to want Amnon to come. But Absalom pressured him and David gave under the pressure. And all the king's sons rode their mules to Absalom's party, sheep shearing. The wine was passed, the food was eat, the night passed on. Absalom become more and more passing Amnon this, passing Amnon that. Here, have another drink, Amnon. How you doing, old buddy? And when Amnon's heart was merry, did you read it? Oh, it's a sad thing. Amen. It says, now Absalom had commanded his servant, saying, mark ye now, when Amnon's heart is merry with wine, when I say unto you, smite Amnon, then kill him. Fear not. Have another drink, Amnon. You just got a few hours to live. Drink up. Here, have some more. The last meal for the condemned. Eat and drink and be merry, Amnon. And his heart gets more and more unafraid. More and more liberated he becomes. Until at the height of his merriment, Absalom looks and says, slay Amnon. And Amnon, to the surprise, drops his little wine cup as he feels the sword slip in his body. And another, until he staggers and falls and lays in his blood. And while he's laying in his blood, Jonadab is standing beside his dad saying, don't let your heart be troubled. All of your sons are not dead. Just Amnon, your friend, may become your pallbearer. Amnon is dead. Jonadab is volunteering his services for comfort. David, don't be troubled. Just Amnon's dead. Just. Did you see the cold, callous actions of Jonadab? Just. Which one of your sons are you willing to give up? Just. Which one of you girls are you're willing to give up? Just. Just Amnon is dead. No tears, no remorse. Just Amnon. And Jonadab will sit there and he'll be a pallbearer at Amnon's funeral. He'll tell David, we were such good friends. Well, I can remember when we done this together and that together. But Jonadab was nothing but an instigator. And now he becomes a pallbearer. And if Amnon could look out in eternity, he would have said to Jonadab, Jonadab, you were supposed to be my friend. Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me? You knew this? You knew Absalom was going to slay me tonight? Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me? You knew it? And you never let on to me like you knew it. Why didn't you tell me? Listen, before you leave her, before you pack your bag and go, think of the consequences. There are some children that's going to suffer. They're going to suffer with scars that's going to be deep for all their life. Because they'll never understand why Dad left them. And Mom, before you pack your bag and run off with your hero, you think, there's some things that you need to know. You'll never erase that scar from your life. Even if he does divorce his other one and marry you, you'll always be number two or number three. And you're real lucky you can be number four. And maybe he'll let you be number five. If he couldn't handle number one and he lost out with number two, how is he going to be successful with you? Oh, I know you say, it's different with me. He loves me. He told them the same line. You may not like me, but that's okay. Those